This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Help us find the door of hope and dwell therein. Amen. As we begin this new liturgical year with this first Sunday of Advent, I say to you, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Before I get into the sermon, I must say that the Bloodmobile is here today. And if anyone would like to absent themselves from the service at any time to give blood, that certainly is a sacrament of giving, and it certainly gives hope, which is our theme for today, and gives life. So if you would like to do that, please go ahead. Just not everybody leave right now. If you look on the cover of your bulletin, you see that the traditional candle that we light for this first Sunday of Advent is this one over here, and for some reason it would not light. So there's more than one way to skin a cat. Hope. We spent all day yesterday in our quiet day talking about hope. Hope in ourselves, hope in others, and ultimately all of that comes from our hope in God. Joyful expectation of what God has promised. That's what this season is all about. We sing the tunes of the season as we do during these weeks in Advent in our church, but with a different message. The beautiful message of hope that Advent allows us to spend some time reflecting upon in our preparation for Christmas. So I begin by saying something I've said to you now. I think this is the 18th year. And those words, as we move into this Christmas rush that I'm sure many of you will remember, it always gets done. It does. So do not let the craziness of this season impact your hope, or as we're going to see in successive weeks, to your joy, to your peace, and to your love. I love Christmas as much as anyone, but the moment for any of us that the stresses of this season start to become negative stresses that take away from our hope, our peace, our joy, and our love, it is time to step back and take a deep breath and just say, it always gets done. I know that all the strands of lights that are in our garage and in our attic didn't get put up last year. So what? The neighbors didn't notice, but we had a great Christmas. I can't remember who I forgot to send Christmas cards to last year, and I bet they can't remember either. And I can't remember who forgot to send me a Christmas card last year, but I know their thought was there, and that's all that matters. So the minute that it starts to become a negative stressor for us, we need to slow down and say, it always gets done. And besides, it already got done by Jesus 2,000 years ago by coming to us as the Son of God. So remember that as we go forward. You know, that gospel, we always get this apocalyptic gospel on this first Sunday of Advent. I think it's so appropriate in our day and age because Jesus was here and speaking today. I think he'd say, it's going to be just like Black Friday. It's going to be crazy. People everywhere and going nuts. Well, when you see that happening, know that the kingdom of God is near because it becomes the chance for us who know the true reason for all of this, that it can be a chance for us to be shining stars. It can be a chance for us to be messengers of hope. So let us remember that as we go forward. So let's talk a little bit today about hope. And I apologize to those of you who were at the quiet day yesterday because you have heard some of this already, but perhaps this will be a good recap for some of you. You are all familiar with the playwright Eugene O'Neill, I think. Great playwright, had to study him in literature class. Did not have a very good life, not a very pleasant life he had. His father was an alcoholic. His mother was addicted to morphine from the birth of their brother to take away the pain that after childbirth she experienced. And Eugene O'Neill himself became an alcoholic, and he battled that. And then later in his life, he developed Parkinson's disease. Pretty difficult life for that author. He wrote what is considered his autobiographical work, and it comes down to us with this title, A Long Day's Journey into Night. It's not exactly a hope-filled title, is it? Looking at it from a Christian perspective, for us, it is more like a long night's journey into day. Because that's what the message of this season is. All of the prophets, all of these stories that we are hearing, just like Isaiah says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. A long night's journey into day. And we know this from our experience, and we know this through our knowledge of the Bible, of what God has done. And with our hope, it is a joyful expectation of what God's going to do to achieve God's promises and dreams in us. In that autobiographical work, Eugene O'Neill has in the last scene, I remember he's having this conversation with his father. Now, he doesn't say it's him, but you can sort of guess that it is him talking to his father. And he takes on the character of an actor, and the actor is a bit remorseful. And the actor is having the discussion with his father, and he says, I feel really bad because I kept with this acting job because I paid the bills and I sacrificed so much as a result of it that I could have done with my life. And he regrets. He sort of lost hope. This season is meant to be a season of hope for us. The reason why the church gives us all of these prophets and all of this stuff is to remind us of the promises that God made and that God was faithful in giving. This was just not some snap idea that God had and poof, there's Jesus. For centuries, this promised Messiah, the promised Redeemer, was to come. And the prophets keep reminding the people of this over and over and over again. And we hear from this prophet Jeremiah today that we don't hear from very often. And Jeremiah gets a bum rap sometimes just because he's raw. He's rough. He tells it like it is, and he speaks his heart. And scripture scholars tell us that he probably did not have a very good life to begin with. And so it's understandable that he had some emotional ups and downs as he went along. It's not like Isaiah, who sort of came from this family of privilege. And Isaiah is the one who says, here I am, send me. He's ready to go. But Jeremiah comes along, and what does he say? Jeremiah says, God, I'm too young. Get somebody else. And besides that, Jeremiah comes about 100 years after Isaiah, and it's getting to the point where Israel is falling apart. The country's about to go to pot. The Babylonians are going to come in. They're going to be carried off into captivity. The temple's going to be destroyed. And God says, and Jeremiah, you get to go and tell all these people what's going to happen. Not exactly a great message to have to share. Especially when you're coming with a bit of a hopeless outlook on life to begin with. But what's good about the book of Jeremiah, as we went through some of the stories yesterday, is Jeremiah comes a long way in his understanding. And he gets to a point where he goes and he sees this potter at the wheel. And he sees this potter making the clay, and he notices that there is an imperfection in it. So the potter takes the clay, refashions it, puts it back on, and works with it again. Another imperfection, takes it off, reworks it, puts it back on again until it gets it right. And Jeremiah realizes, that's like God is with us. We don't always get it right. But God doesn't just take the clay and throw it out. No, he takes that clay and refashions it and remolds it and continues to build us into the dream and the future that God has for us. Hope. There is always hope for every one of us, no matter what. And so in this season, it becomes the opportunity for us to reflect on what are the hopes and the dreams that God has for me? What do I want to do with the time I have left, whether it's 1 year or 100 years, to partner with God for those hopes and those dreams to come to fruition? I heard a similar story to Eugene O'Neill's from a priest friend of mine who told the story of somebody that had come to his church, and he was sort of an odd character, and he didn't have much talent. He had very difficult social skills. He couldn't talk to people well. He really had communications issues and was sort of a misfit. But one day, he ends up driving in the car with the pastor, and he says, I want to talk to you. Okay. He says, I bet you don't realize that when I graduated from high school, I was voted the most likely to succeed person in my class. And he said, and I felt that God was going to call me to do something special with my life, but I was too busy to listen. And so I had so many important things to do, and I got into one business venture after another, and they all failed miserably. And it came to a point where I realized what God was calling me to do, it was now too late. And because I wasn't using all of those gifts that God had given to me, as with any habit, I lost them. And so now there isn't much left. And the pastor said, well, why are you telling me this? He said, because you still have those gifts, and you have the ability to tell people. And I want you to tell them. Tell them that it is very difficult to say yes to God. But it's a lot more difficult when you say no. It's difficult to say yes. It's a lot more difficult when you say no. We have so much hope. God has so many hopes and dreams and visions for each one of us. May we use this season as we prepare for the greatest gift ever to look to God for the vision as to what God is calling us to do to go forward as individuals. And to end today, I'm going to invite us to do it as a parish. We're in the midst of strategic planning at this church, our spiritual home. And God has a dream and a vision for us. And we want to live into that dream or that vision, and we want to understand what it is. So what I'm going to invite us to do is spend a minute, 2 minutes in silence, eyes closed if you want, but just to vision what that dream is that God has for us here. So for a moment, think that we have fast-forwarded 10 years. It's 2028. The rector is now 72, and he has mandatory retirement. And we stand in this place, and we want to reflect on what God has allowed us to partner with God to achieve in these last 10 years from 2018. So I invite you for the next couple of minutes to dream that dream. And whatever that idea, that word or that phrase bubbles up for you, when you go over to coffee hour today, there are some flip charts on the walls of the parish hall with some magic markers. And I'm going to invite you to write down that word or that phrase with what that dream is. You will see that from our first two services, they've already added their own ideas, and I would welcome you to do the same. When we finished all of this, then it will become the basis for our new parish vision statement, out of which a lot of other things will then come. So let us just spend a hope-filled couple of minutes dreaming with God.